Father, we just thank you that you're in this place. We just ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would draw us near to you. That, Lord God, we thank you for the healing that's happening in people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for making us aware this morning that you're doing a work. And we just submit to your lovely hands, Father. Your kind hands, your gentle hands, oh God, your powerful hands. Lord, we just submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to it, Lord God. Thank you for making us aware, Lord. We ask that you'd bless this word, Father. We ask that you'd let us hear your heart for the people, Lord. Pray, Father, you'd let us hear your heart for those who don't know you, Lord. Those that we've been praying for, believing for, Lord. We just declare this morning, Lord, that this is their year, this is their day of salvation, Lord God. That, Lord, households would come to know you, Lord. Households would come to know the liberating power of Jesus, the transforming power of Jesus. That, Lord, family by family, Lord. Community by community, Lord God. Street by street, Lord. Lord, area by area, Lord God, that the name of Jesus, Lord, would be known, Lord God, and would be precious, oh God. And people would know the power that's in your beautiful name, Jesus. We bless you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We speak to every ear here, Lord. Every heart receive, Lord. Every eye be open. Every mind be able to conceive the very thoughts of God himself this morning for you. We just thank you, Lord, that the psalmist reminds us and tells us that your thoughts towards us, oh God, are as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be open to catch some of your thoughts towards us this day, Father. Your prosperous thoughts, your futuristic thoughts, oh God, your hope-filled thoughts, Lord, towards us. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, at the beginning of this year, we declared that this is a year of reaching out to other people with the gospel, with the knowledge, with the understanding that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus sets people free. Is that right? If you can identify with that, say yes. That's right. So it's not just somebody saying this, it's some bodies that have experienced this. And I remember, like, at the beginning of the year, my daughter Erica, She works in the lighthouse with the rest of the guys, and she was telling me about this man that was in a situation that, like, either was homeless or like in need of being in the lighthouse for support and stuff like that. So the guy had come to know Jesus through the lighthouse. This is only a couple of weeks old, and so Erica knows him and was talking to him, and he says to Erica one day, he says, "Me and the missus were reading the Bible together," And so Erica, like, is engaging with the guy, and then he says to Erica, "See that fella there?" And he pointed at one of the lads, and he says this. So he only came to know Jesus a couple of weeks earlier, and he says, "Erica, it's my goal in life to make sure my friend makes it to heaven." And I thought, my goodness, what an absolute passion, and what a great heart to have already, that his goal in life was to tell his friend what he had found in Jesus. And you, and what our lives, and even what the sneaky devil that he is tries to make us do, is concentrate on where we fail, or what we get wrong. And he goes, "How can you tell others, look what you've done or not done?" But here's the reality. You're not telling them how good you are. You're telling them the good news that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He died on a cross so that the sins of mankind can be forgiven, and that the gospel is relevant for every area of our lives. Now, that's good news, because there's people that are in hopeless situations. Would you not agree? And all the way through the Bible, you find that Jesus, from the very beginning, was all about go. I want you to go. Listen to what he says when he rises from the dead to the disciples and to us. "Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And he adds, and the Gospel of Mark adds, "And that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall be made well. And that you will cast out devils and they will go." And all of this stuff, Jesus says, when you go, this is what to expect. This is what will happen. Will you make it happen? Will I make it happen? He says, "Oh, you're going to wait in Jerusalem." This is what he told the disciples. "And my Father is going to send you the promised Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will do the things that I just talked about." Amen. Now,
If the church doesn't go, we ain't seeing what Jesus said we will see when we go. So from the beginning, Jesus is saying, come on, follow me. And then at the end of Jesus' life on earth, he says, now go. Go into all the world and preach the good news. And he says this, I will be with you. So we're going on our own. Anyway, you know what? I was praying during the week, last week, I got a song on my heart. And this might apply to you. And I believe God wants to change your song. And if this applies to you, just receive it as it's like, if you're a person that this song applies to, you know the song, all by myself, don't wanna be all by myself anymore. If that applies to you, if you like, I feel alone in this, it's like, am I ever gonna have someone? Like, you could be married and be alone, by the way. You could work in a university with thousands of people and be alone. And if that song resonates with you, I just want you, the Father wants you to know that he's changing your song. He's changing the song. That's what he's about. That fear robs their song. Circumstances rob their song. But the Father wants to say, here's the other part of another song. You are not alone. I am here with you. The Father is here with us. And whatever we need in life, he is the one that will bring what we need into our lives. But Jesus said, come and follow me. And then he goes, now I'm sending you to other people. How did you come? If you're a Christian, meaning you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Some people think because they go to church makes them a Christian. No, it doesn't. Like going to a garage doesn't make me a motor car. Or going to McDonald's doesn't make me a Big Mac. But you've asked Jesus. You've received the forgiveness that he accomplished on the cross for us. That's when if you have done this, how do you get to this place in your life? Most likely someone told you about Jesus. Most likely someone had the guts to come and say, Jesus loves you, or do you know you need Jesus, or they demonstrated the power of the love of Jesus to you. That's how most of us got here. We got an invitation. Would you say that's probably true? If you did put up your hand, someone came to you, got an invitation. Wow, so this is the way we win people to Jesus. People are waiting for an invitation from somebody that they will, so that they will hear the truth. If we don't tell them the truth, someone is telling them a lie. If we don't tell them the truth, someone is telling them a lie. And I remember when I believe what God wants to do is give us fresh faith to see people come to faith in Jesus. A fresh oomph, a fresh excitement, a fresh shining of the stars. He's all stars, by the way, the Bible says. We are all stars being held out to this dark world. And Jesus wants to shine us up a bit today so that people will go, wow, what happened to you? How come you're shining? How come? No, I'm not saying you're not going through stuff, but it doesn't depend on whether you're going through stuff or not. So Jesus called some of the disciples. When you hear this in John. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. John chapter 1. He found Philip and he said to Philip, Philip, come and follow me. So Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Then Philip went and found Nathanael and said to Nathanael, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about the one the prophets also wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Philip says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from that place? Philip said, come on and see. So when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip even called you. Then Nazareth declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God. This is what happened. Philip got called. Philip says, I'm going to tell someone else. Philip experienced who Jesus was and he says, I need to tell somebody else. And he went and found Nathanael. Now, when I became a Christian, my friend Mick Finley, Finno Finley, he was known in the flats, Finno had encountered Jesus And first thing that he thought of, or at least one of the first things he thought of, I'm going to tell my mate Noel, because we hung out together. I'm going to tell him of the wonders of God and what God is about, and that God has a plan and a hope and a future. And Mick came to me in the flats and he says, Noel, Jesus is real. And I thought, you're mad. I rejected him. I stood on the corner with many others saying, he's a lunatic. Look what drugs done to poor Mick in his mind. We used to say, because we live by the canal, come on up and walk on the water, Mick. And you know all of the slagging that he got. When he was saying things to me, my head wanted to slag him, but my heart was accepting that something in this that was real and true. And I thank God that he had the bottle. He had the tenacity to keep going at it. To keep going, no, I know you don't understand, but he loves you. And my head, on my background, on my lack of religious understanding in any way, my parents took out the church and neither did the 14 kids. No real knowledge other than what we were told in school of Jesus. So that could have been man in the moon for all we knew, really. Mick found something in God, and the first thing he said, I want to give this away. And Mick used to leave, we were living in 76 Dalton House at the time. He'd get up every 10 minutes or something, go to the bathroom. I was like, his ladder is shot. But what I found was, he was going to pray. He told me he'd go in every few minutes and go, Jesus saw from his heart. Jesus, I want my friend Noel to get there. I want my friend Noel to experience your love. I want my friend Noel to know freedom. I want my friend Noel to know you have a hope and a purpose for his life. I want him to know that that you're great and the greatness of who you are. I want him to know that this is not just for him, it's for his kids and their kids and their kids and generations. And he'd come back out and a couple of minutes later he'd go back in again and he'd do it all over again. Why? Because there was something in him that we needed. He wasn't being driven. He was being compelled by the love of God that was in him. He didn't come. Yeah, I thought he was a lunatic, but that was the head. But the heart was like, if this could be true, is it true that someone could be set free? Is it true that you could have a hope and a future? Is it true you could shake off hopelessness? Is it true that God could be with you every moment of the day? Is it? My head was like, you're going off your nuts. You're mad. My heart was like, come on. Need somebody. Crying at night. Remember that song came out? If you know me, you know what? Here's one for you. When I died, would you put him down? He was the singing preacher. I can't come up with a sermon without having a song in it. But like in my dreams, in my heart, I'd be like, when Freddie Mercury brought it, I want to break free. Isn't it an anthem? I want to break free. And you'd hear that. I'm falling in love. Like, you'd hear that, I want to break free. And this is a man singing it on the telly and whatever, but in your heart it was like, I want to be free. I didn't even know what freedom even looked like or smelled like or sounded like till I actually met Jesus. And it's the anthem of so many out there. It's the cry you put on. Go to the next pub you go to or the next party or prison or wherever you go to say to the DJ, put on I Want to Break Free. And I'm telling you, it won't be long before all the L ones down the back start. I want to break free. And all the young people, you think, no, that's an 80s song. And all the young people are saying the same thing. Because it's an anthem. It's a cry of a heart. And we know where people are. There's slave drivers and then there's slave liberators. And we have been called to be the liberators. We've been the ones that are called to bring liberty for the captive. Jesus said, I have come to set the captive free. And who is he going to do that through? You and me. When I hear that song again, I hope I'm bold enough to say to someone, I know how you really get free. What? I know. And you know when you're free? They know. They know. They know who's on that side of the desk in the prison, who's on this side of the visiting desk. They know. They know by the colour of our face. They know by the light in our eye. They know by the way we speak, the way we smile. You may say, but you don't know me. I'm a grumpy old thing. No, you're not grumpy compared to those who are out there that alone. What you're going through is nothing to compare to what they're going through out there because we have Jesus. And they know the difference. Listen to what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. I don't know about you, but I need a bit more confidence in that. Like, Jesus, would you shine this little light up? Would you make me more brighter, Lord? That light, I want to walk into a room and go, when he walks into a room, he lights the place up. Because it's the truth. You go into a cafe and people are there that don't know Jesus and you walk in, light just walked in. I'll tell you a great story. A friend of mine told me this recently. He was in hospital. This lad is just great. Jimmy Goff is his name. I don't know whether it was actually when he was in hospital or he was visiting somebody. So, but anyway, he says he walked into the ward and this man clocked him, followed him when he was walking across the ward. And Jimmy knew somehow, Jimmy knew that this man was blind. Jimmy was thinking, how could this man follow me across the room when he's blind? So he went over and he says to him, look, I know you're blind, but I know when I walked into the room, you spotted me. And when I walked across the room, you followed me. And the man says, all I know is this, a light walked into the room, and I followed the light across. Now, that's who's in us. The blind even see the light. The blind even see who's in us. Those who are lost, the blind see it in us. And Jesus says, you bring out God's colours in this world. That's what it says in the Message translation. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. When it says you are the light of the world, he says, you, speaking to you and me, you bring out God's colors in this world. You and I, we bring out a flavor. That's what it says about the salt. It doesn't say in the Message, you are the salt of the earth. It's up there. It says, you bring out God's flavors in this world. So when you walk out, when you walk into a place or you're having a conversation, you're bringing out God's flavors. When you walk into a room, you're bringing out God's colors into the room. I see your true colors. Shining through. So don't be afraid to let it shine. I see your true colors. Come on, shouting, true colors are beautiful like the rainbow. Don't be afraid to let your true colors shine. We bring out God's colors in this world. Jesus sends out the disciples. Easter is coming. Here's the next disciples. Easter is coming. You think who you need to pray for and invite. People want to go to church on Easter. People come sort of like that. Easter is coming. Ask God. You know probably right now who you should be praying for already. Jesus is sending the disciples out. I think it's Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And he says, when you go into a town, so here's how to pray. Here's how to be a blessing. Here's how to bring someone to Jesus. Here's how to see kingdom of God through your life on earth. So Jesus is sending them out. Not anyone else. Jesus is sending them out. And he says, when you go into a town and you find someone that welcomes you, bless them. Speak peace to them. And if they give you some food, sit down and eat with them. And when you're eating with them, if anyone is sick, pray for them. And God will heal them. It's like, wow, this is a Jesus way of evangelism. So he says, so if you're in job, or in your community, or in the workplace, or in school, wherever, that if you get connected with someone and they're friendly, speak blessing for them. You don't have to go and go, I bless you in the name of it. I'm not talking about that. Speak peace. Be the one that speaks. Like you know God. That like you know God turn all things around. That you know God is with you. I used to say to my girls when they were in secondary school, like around this type of stuff. I said, you know what, Erica or Becky or Naomi? If you know the girl in school that nobody else wants to hang around, will you just make sure you say hello to them? Will you make sure that if you are sitting down at a table, at least invite them over, whether they come or not is another thing. But when you make sure that you don't hang around, you don't care who you hang around with, but don't be like them, that just bully people or sideline people or exclude people, at least be the one that says, how's it going today? It's good to see. Whatever language they would use. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, be a person of blessing. Be a person of peace. Be a person that is a bridge builder. Being someone that is not going to join the group tomorrow talking about the boss and running the boss down. That's what he's, don't be like that. Because them people are a pound a dozen. And if we're the light of the world, we have to stand out from that stuff. But you're the one that says, you know what, maybe we don't know what's going on in there. Maybe that boss is like that for a reason. You know, or at least when you see the boss, it's saying hello. Jesus says, this is, because you know these type of people, when someone is going through it, that's who I want to talk to. I don't want to sit with Mary that talked about the other Mary to me. I want to sit with the Christian that will say, do you know what, like, I'm going to pray about that. No, it's a difficult situation. It doesn't matter what you believe in prayer. I believe God will answer this for you. What our son is going through, what? I'm going to pray. That's who people want to hang around with. You don't want to hang around with the next gossiper in the job. Hang around with someone. Well, at least if I go to breathe it, she's going to bring some wisdom. She's going to bring some insight. They might use this words. She's going to bring some words of comfort. She's going to, look, you know what? I never see a light at the end of the tunnel, but when I seem to talk to him or her, they always seem to have hope. You all seem to know there will be a way out. That's who I want to talk. And the Bible, Jesus is saying, so when you're that person, they're the ones that people invite for dinner. If they invite you for dinner, sit with them. And when you're sitting with them, if you find out a need, say, I'm going to pray to my God for you. I don't believe in prayer. That's all right. I do. And when God works, you will be able to say, that's the key. That's what I think. Jesus says, not about like a declaration first. We're about a demonstration first. Not just like, just too many Christians just talking. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be talker. I want to see the kingdom come. I want to see the kingdom move. That's what we're singing. That's what we're declaring this morning. And Jesus says in this passage, you read in your own time, when you find out what's wrong, pray. And God will heal them. And they'll go, what's that? You say, that's the kingdom. Do you want to be part of it? There's people around the 1916 year coming in. You know, I was with some leaders last week, and some people are freaked out because if you know the history of the uprising, like there's loads of stuff. Once that, but some leaders that compared it with the death and resurrection of Jesus, when people gave their lives for the nation, that was around a lot of it. And then others made blood covenants with occultic things, cut themselves and made like covenants and vows to the occultic situations, and that was the there's the two things around the 1916 uprising. And some leaders, some Christians get freaked out over that. And are you going to commemorate it? Are you going to remember it? Are you going to celebrate it? And all this stuff. And if we celebrate it, we celebrate blood covenants in the occult and all that stuff. And I'm like sitting there going, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to commemorate it or celebrate it. But what it is an opportunity to say to people, do you want to belong to a new kingdom? Do you want your citizenship to be in heaven? Do you want to, because it was all done around Easter, around Good Friday and Easter. But if you want to know about the good news, what happened that Easter, another uprising when someone up from the grave rose and all of that stuff. And but people want to hear this stuff. And I want to be the person that says it. But people can talk a whole lot, but I'm praying for us that we don't just have a declaration, but we have a demonstration. And then people will say, what's going on there? That's the kingdom. Well, I want to be in that kingdom. I want to belong to that kingdom. And someone has to take the baton. Someone has to, and I want it to be yours. At least I want liberty to be in the race. We want to win the city. Wherever we go, we want to be a people of blessing. A people who will sit down. You have a need. Some people talk to people about God before talking to God about the people. Talk to God about the person before you talk to the person about God. God, what's going on in the background? What's going on in the heart? God, will you bless them? Will you soften the heart? All the things that Mick Finley done. He talked to God before he talked to me about God. So I'll do a miracle in his life. Now, Lord, this is what Mick prayed. If you touch him, hundreds will be touched through him. That's what he prayed. And you know what? He was wrong. Thousands have been touched through my life. And then the kids that's in the house, there'll be hundreds of thousands when it's multiplied to all of us. And someone has to take the baton up. There was a man called Reinhard Bonnke, a German evangelist, who actually I went to hear on the 22nd of March 1989 on a Tuesday evening, about 8:40 around that time. Reinhard gets up, and German evangelist. When Reinhardt was younger, he was in college in Wales or London. I can't think which one he was. But he was in London anyway, and he got a bus ticket, and he was going around seeing the city. And he went to this house. Eventually, yeah, he got lost, and but he had the bus ticket to go anywhere he wanted in London. And he goes and he sees this house. And on the plaque on the wall was a name called, "This is a house of George Jeffreys." Now, not many will probably know who George Jeffreys is, but you can look him up. But George Jeffreys was, they used to call these brothers the Jeffrey Brothers. And the Jeffrey Brothers started the Elam movement, if anyone knows the Elam Church. They started the Elam Church. And but these guys moved in what Jesus sent us out to move in. People getting healed everywhere. In fact, a friend of mine was telling me, who belongs to the Elam Church, over in the church where Jeffreys used to pastor in London. Colum Doyle is now the pastor there, if these names mean that. If not, you can look them up and see what this goes about. But anyway, they have a big stage, he was telling me. And for decades, they've been, you know, like, you probably all have a drawer like this at home. For decades, they've been just throwing stuff under the stage, you know what I mean? Like, if you get in the back of that stage, there's stuff there, believe me, like dead bodies and not, no. And, but the stuff there, and it was one of those stages, and he said it was really deep, this stage. And they renovated it. This was about 2 years ago, he's telling me. They were renovating the building, and they pulled out everything that was underneath the stage, having it clear out. He says, "No, you wouldn't believe what was there." He says, "There was wheelchairs, hundreds of crutches, glasses, hearing aids." He says, "You couldn't believe what they were dragging out." And I was like, where were they from? And he says, when George Jeffrey was the pastor there, he says, they seen waves of healing, signs and wonders, and when people would get healed, they just throw their stuff underneath the stage to get it out of the way, you know what I mean, over the time and whatever. And I don't know about you, but what would that do to you, that if, like, we had an era in this church where under there was full of wheelchairs and walking sticks and crutches, and now we weren't seeing that happening? Like, that would have to inspire you, wouldn't it, to go, "Oh God, do it again," wouldn't it have to? Or else you'd ignore it and go, "Well, we're just dead. We're Christians, but we're dead." I was like, "And what did they do?" And he says, "They put them in the skip." I was like, "Wow, what would you have done with that now?" I'd have hung them out of the ceiling. I'd have hung them out of the ceiling to remind us, this is what our God does. And we were the people that were moving in this, and now we're not. Let's pray. Let's ask God to do it again. I don't know what they done with them in the end, but he told me the truth. But Josh Jeffreys was the pastor at the time of that church. And Jeffreys was used to lead, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of people to God. And here's Reinhard Bonnke, a young German, sees, like, George Jeffreys' name on the door. And he goes, "Could it be George Jeffreys?" He says, "I'm in England, I'm sure there's loads of people called Jeffreys." And he says, "I'm in England, I'm sure there's loads of people called George. Come on." Anyway, he knocks at the door. The woman opens the door. He said, with a big old door, and she was the width of the door. "Yes?" He says, "Could it be that this is actually the house George Jeffreys, where he used to live?" He says, "George Jeffreys, yes. And he still lives here." And he was thinking, "I want to get to see him." But he was looking at the lady and says, "I wasn't getting by you." Next minute, a voice from up the stairs says, "Bring him in." He couldn't believe it. There he is with George Jeffreys. He lays his hands on Reinhardt. He says, "Father, give him millions. Father, I pass the mantle onto this man." And Reinhardt received it as a young man. And again, he got, before he got back to, I think he was living in Hamburg at the time. He's not from Hamburg. And he says, "I'm not from Hamburg, and I'm not from Frankfurt." He says, "I'm neither a hamburger or a Frankfurter." A German with a sense of humor. Hello. And he said, he gets home and he embraces his dad at the train station. Back in Germany. So between a day to go home and 2 days ago. And his dad said, "You wouldn't believe who this day." He says, "Who, Dad?" He says, "Made George Jeffreys. Just passed him." Fully went. Now, why don't I tell you what I read about Reinhardt? Reinhardt, he was saying when Reinhardt, you know how he got put into ministry? How he got his break in ministry? this evangelist that was well known, and he was doing an outreach in somewhere in Africa. And he went home. The evangelist went home. So it was left with Reinhard to go up and speak. And it was to a handful of people, and he preached the gospel, and some people came to know Jesus. And he's talking about that, and then he says, and I remember the first day. I remember the crusade when 500,000 people showed up to one outreach. 500,000. It was in Nigeria. He says Nigeria is his favorite place in the world, by the way. Hello? And he says people were weeping. He used to have a platform. He says he had to stop the prayer people from coming to the platform because underneath the platform would be all these prayer warriors. And he says he wouldn't get to hear himself speaking with the level of prayer that these were praying for the people. And he says they were all weeping. All of them on the stage was weeping. And he says, well, what's going on? This is not a day to weep. This is a day to rejoice because look at all these people. And he says, you don't get what's happening, Reinhard. They said the majority of those people out there are Muslim people. And then Reinhard realized what all the weeping was about. To this date, written on cards, meaning decisions that were written on cards. I gave my life to the Lord and wrote my name and address and I gave my life to you. So not just people giving their life to the Lord and walking out the door, but decision making, people sitting with a counselor going through, I give my life to Jesus. His ministry has led, he said just short, a sliver, short of 74 million people to Jesus. 74 million people to Jesus. That's our nation multiplied by 10 or 12. 74 million because someone says, God, I will take the mantle, I will take the responsibility. If you open the door, I will be in like Flynn, and I want to see people come to know Jesus in that way. And the finger of God is here tonight. The finger of God is here today. Will it be you? Will it be you? Will you go? But I can't. Will you just go? I'll be with you. But I never prayed for the sick. That's good. But I'll be with you, and I'll show you how to pray for the sick. But Lord, I never led anyone to Jesus. You will lead people to Jesus. I'm not a liberator. You will be a liberator. I don't feel like the light of the world. You are the light of the world, you big, beautiful thing. I don't feel like I'm bringing God's flavors out. You are. I will be with you to do this. And what's left for us is to say, like is Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. That's our response. Individually and corporately, will determine what's released in through our lives. I'm not saying we have to have it all together, because the gospel is not based on whether I have it all together or not. The gospel is the gospel itself. But like George Jeffries, I believe that God is looking for someone to pass it on. I'm just looking for hands that reach up and take it back. God will do the rest. God will do the rest. Isaiah, here I am, Lord. I'll go. Where am I going to? I don't know. Who am I going to tell? I don't know. How am I going to do it? I don't know. But here I am. I'm giving you what I have today. I'm giving you myself. I'm saying, Lord, I want to see Ireland won. Look at Reinhard had 1.6 million people show up at one meeting. 1.6 million. Imagine counting that often. Take you 10 days. That's the whole population of our capital. At one meeting. 1979, the Phoenix Park. A man came, a pope, and 1 million people showed. You say, oh, that's Africa, or that's this. No, that's the Phoenix Park. 1 million Irish people showed up. 1 million of us from all over the nation landed in the park. Go up to the cross in the Phoenix Park and look out. And you look out and you go, in that vastness of a field, 1 million of us showed up. I'm saying, Lord, do it again. I'm saying, Lord, let it happen again. 1 million at a time showing up to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that God wants to do that again? I do. People have said, heaven or down there. Someone says to Reinhardt, forgive me for quoting Reinhardt all morning. Someone says, but that's Africa. Reinhardt says, my Bible says, God loves the world. It's not just one place. It's the whole shebang. And he's looking for someone that will say, hey. And he will promise us that if we wait, that we will receive the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. Every name has a flame. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came seeing with tongues of fire. Amen, Stephen, tongues of fire. Fire came, landed on it, and they were empowered to do what he says we can do. Listen, God will do what he says he will do. He will do it. He will do it. Let's dance. Let's have that last song. Good time, 20 past 12. Please join us tonight up in Clondalkin. 6 o'clock, you'll be invited to a great meeting tonight. We have a team from Nashville, Tennessee. They're going to preach and sing. We're going to have a communion. We're going to have a prayer table. We're going to have anointing with oil. What else are we going to have? Oh, yeah, lovely cakes. If the anointing doesn't get you there, the cakes might. Well, please join us at 6 o'clock. Come and meet some of our friends from Nashville. And tomorrow evening, remember the marriage thing. If you didn't give your name, please give your name because we need to give our final numbers for food tomorrow. We're going to sit to eat at 7 sharp. Father, we love you. Father, we bless you. And all I can say, Father, here we are. Here we are, Lord. And I'm asking us this morning as a people to present ourselves to God. Just like Isaiah did. Say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Will you use me? Lord, if you can use anyone, will you use me? Lord, I haven't got all my ducks lined up in a row, but I'm here. Will you use me? Lord, sometimes I feel like a prisoner myself, but will you use me? Sometimes I feel like the slave driver is my master. Well, will you use me to be a slave liberator? Lord, I feel like my a shining star, I've gone a bit dull. Will you shine me up today? Shine me up, Lord. Lord, I need your power to do this. And I present myself for more of your Holy Spirit. More of the expression of your love, your power, and your gifts and your fruits. Here I am, Lord. Give us your love for people. Lord, put an excitement in my heart to see a city and even a nation come to know you. Put an excitement in my heart, Lord. Lord, let me see with eyes of faith. See, faith gives you access to see into the invisible realm. Increase our faith, Father, so that we can see the future. We can see into what you're doing and what this city will look like with tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people singing your praises. I don't know how we're going to do this, but here's the invitation. We sing this song. Why don't you come to the front? Just, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to pray for you today. God will do what he wants in your heart. But you're presenting yourself, Lord, I'm presenting myself to be used by you for others. And all I can do is walk to the front and give myself to you. And I'll leave the rest over to you, Lord. I want to be like Reinhardt. I want to receive the battle. And I'll put up my hand, Lord, to say, here I am, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. I surrender to you. Just keep coming. Keep coming. We're just coming before God. Push in everyone else. Just push in. Here I am, oh God. Use me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh, Lord. here I am, I'm Noah, Lord. Would you send a flame with my name on it, Lord? I'm going up to the park tomorrow, Lord. I'm going up to that cross, Lord. I'm going to look out and I'm going to visualize the people. And those who you touched in 79, Lord, raise them up, Lord. Bring them out of the hiding places, oh God. Shake off, Lord, the dust on them, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that we see, Lord, we see a new fresh million, oh God. Let's sing. We're asking God to fill us. We're asking God for fresh fire, yeah? Fresh faith, fresh fire. We love you, Lord. We want to say, we want to take up the mantle, oh God. We want to take up the mantle of seeing hundreds and thousands come to know you, Lord. We give our life to this. We'll serve the others, oh God. Lord, we lay our lives down to see them come to know you, Lord God. That, Lord, we will be brave and courageous, oh God, in invitation, oh God. That, Father, that you would use us as we present ourselves to you, Lord. That when we see a need this week, I pray for a boldness to enter us today, Lord. That we will say, I'm going to ask my God to do something about that. You just wait and see. Wait and see what my God will do in this situation. Say, your people, Father. We want to be a go people. You know what I was saying, Eric, earlier on, that you know, two-thirds of God's name is G-O, go. He's even putting his name, go. And the D is for like, duh. Go, duh. Of course, we need to go, duh. We can't be a sitting in people, Lord. We want to be a go out people, oh God. Duh. Come on, guys, lead us. Just call God. Call on him. If you don't know any other prayers, just say his wonderful name over again. Jesus. Jesus.